Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 to 24. Let's read this passage together. Okay, verse 17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man caught being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any caught in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. May God bless us with the public reading of his word. I shall now call upon Elder Chu to deliver the message.
This mic is... Very good morning to all of you. It's good to be able to be here. While we were planning for this retreat, we were thinking of an outdoor. And somehow or other, end up indoor. How good, right? You know, we'll all be suffering outside. So God is wise, and somehow or other, we landed up here with all aircon condition. And thank God for this, unplanned for surprise, and we are all very thankful for aircon today. Thank God for that. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for this morning that you have brought us together. And we might take time, all Lord, to consider our calling before thee. And we do thank thee, Lord, for the many hands that has planned this retreat for us. We pray for the children who have left us for their various meeting, and we thou bless their fellowship. And help them, Lord, also that they will grow in friendship one with another, that they will be a support and strength to each other. May thou lead them, Lord, to thyself, that they may know thee, O God. We pray also, Lord, for ourselves as parents and as adults here working in our various calling, that, Lord, thou will help us that we might understand thy holy will and that is good and acceptable and perfect in our lives. That we might know, Lord, what is it that you will have us to do in these last days, in this time and season. Oh God, we pray that you will help us as we study thy word, that you will grant us understanding. Prepare our hearts, oh God, cleanse us of all our sins, and bless our meditation. For this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As I was thinking about what to speak with you this morning, and this text came to my mind. And it's just so coincidental that this text is also the very text that will lay the groundwork for our study on Saturday, actually. Because in the very same passage, we will have the calling of singlehood and calling to be married. And I think this will fall in very nicely as a sort of an introduction to our message on this coming Saturday. So we invite you to join us if you are not not aware about this Saturday meeting. So I'll entitle this morning message as Abiding in Our Calling. Now, where do you get this title from? If you look at the text that is before you, you will see that this Abiding in Our Calling is stressed three times in this passage. Can you see it? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7, 17. Can you see the first time this title, Abiding in Our Calling, is mentioned in verse 17? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so God calling, right? So let him walk. So that's the first call, to abide in this very calling as God has called and God has sovereignly distributed to every man. It is not something that is by chance that you and I are who we are and where we are now. I want you to recognize this. It's important to recognize that what we are today and where we are and where we are born and who we are and what education we have, what family background we come from, which country we are born into and which church that we are brought into, the job that you landed yourself to be, the relationship you have in our spouses, in our children, in our parents, in our workplace, etc., etc. Every one of them is not by chance, but is God who is sovereignly in control of it all, who has distributed to every man and has called us to this very calling. And God, and Paul here tells us, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. So he put it as a regulation in the church itself that you and I are to recognize. That's the first call. And then in verse 20, it says that every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So again, a second call to us to tell us that we are to not to change our calling at our whims and fancy, at our various delights and delights. But we have to consider this very seriously. Wherever before we make a change in anything related to our calling, that we do not do it so hastily, but we must be very clear that it is the Lord's will, because it is the Lord's will that we are what we are and where we are now, and therefore, before we move on to where we want, we must be sure that it is what the Lord wants also for us. So let every man abide the same calling wherein he was called. And then the third call, the third time, this is emphasis that we have to abide in our calling, is found in the last verse of 24 of the text. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now, once is enough to be a commandment to each one of us to do what we should do, but that in such a short passage from verse 17 to 24, that makes 8 verses, that God should mention it 3 times so that you will not miss it, is very significant for us to lay to heart and to mind. I want you to understand the perfect and good will of God in our life, which is our various calling, and to understand that and then to know what exactly is our role and how we are to relate to this calling of ours. The command is very clear. We are to abide, every man, individually. You're not to follow anyone. You know, because everybody is moving one direction, you also are going to move in a direction. But each of you, you must know what is your calling, and therefore, what will you do with this calling? And are you abiding with God, in God, in this very calling that God has given to you? I find this passage very relevant and useful to our instruction, particularly in all of us here who are in sort of like quite a bit of transit. Many of you are in a certain occupation. Some of you are homekeepers. But it's a very calling. Some of you are parents. Some of you are single. Some of you are planning to get married. Some of you may even think about changing your job. Some of you may think about migrating. Some of you are thinking about where you should serve, what you should be doing, and whether you should stop serving in this ministry or move on to something else. All these are various very important questions that we need to be very discerning about the will of God. Because it is God who has actually put you to where you are, and He has a plan and a purpose and a design for it all. God is alone is the author and finisher of our faith, and therefore this growth of our faith doesn't happen in a vacuum. Right? It happened in an environment. It happened in a set of certain relationships that we have.
Right? The people that are around us, they are all there by God. It is very environment where we are then to grow.
And to, just pluck ourselves out from this very place that God has placed us in to another place is very unwise. It's very unwise. If we say we know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, right? And He said that He leads us into what? In green pastures. And beside the still waters. And that's true. So where is your green pasture and still waters now? So are we as a sheep to go and seek out another green pasture and another still water for ourselves without the Lord leading us, and we say, the Lord is my shepherd? Or are you both the sheep and the shepherd? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are we really trusting the Lord, who is a shepherd, will lead us to greener pasture if we think there is a greener pasture elsewhere? To more still water because there's a cleaner water for us that we became supposed to go? We need to be very clear about that. It is not something that we should just do, you know, at the drop of a hat, or because everybody is doing, because that can cause us to very serious consequences. Paul felt it necessary to address the Corinthians church after they were converted, right? And he said that, you know, the people after being converted might wonder, you know, what should I do now? After I'm saved, you know, God has shown me His mercy and called me to, you know, to salvation, then what does He want me to do? Should I change my job? Should I do this? Should I do that? You know? And so Paul has a right to them and say, look, after you're converted, it's not necessary that everyone of you must start changing everything that you're doing. Except for some situation. You know that the Corinthians is a metropolis itself that is very rich and full of vices also. And life is good there. But after they are converted, some people are maybe actually in a certain calling that is not suitable for them and therefore need to change. But by and large, the message that Paul wants to send to the Corinthian church is that they are to abide unless otherwise being directed to something else. So by calling here that Paul used, I understand it to be, you know, every aspect, every sphere of our life in our various relationship, in our various responsibility. Your occupation, your profession, even your rank of life as a servant, as a text talk about, or as a free man. You know, when you talk about servant and free man, I think you have to understand that in that context, we are talking about real slaves, right? And people who are a Roman citizen or not, therefore a free man, and therefore you're not in any bondage to anyone. But Paul very clearly tells us that whether you are in the bond, you know, as a slave, or whether you are a free man, one thing is very clear. What do you say in verse 21? A dog called being a servant cannot for it. So that means if you're a bond slave, don't bother about that. There's no need for you to, you know, immediately liberate yourself out of it. But if you can, right, verse 21, if you can, if thou mayest be made free, then use it so that you can have more liberty. But he didn't say that you must, right? It's not that, you know, after you're being become a Christian, you must stop being a slave. He didn't say that. He said you can abide in it, but if you can, you have an opportunity to do so, then please, you know, buy yourself out of it, so that you can be able to employ to further usefulness. Verse 22. But the fact is this. Verse 22. But he that is called in the Lord, you see, there's a higher calling. God calls you to salvation, and then God calls you to a service to Him, to a new life with Him, to be the light and salt in this world. But he that is called in the Lord, two categories, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. So even though you are a bond slave, you are the Lord's free man. What am I free man? You are made free by the Lord already. You may be physically in a bondage, you may be legally in a bond, but then you are spiritually liberated. As I always told prisoners that I meet, I say, look, you may be in physical liberty, limitation of liberty, you are in this prison house, but your soul is liberated. You can be liberated. But on the other hand, people who are outside of the prison, they may be at liberty, but they are in real spiritual bondage. And that's what the point here is, that you are caught in the Lord, you are being a servant, but you are the Lord's free man. We are all the Lord's free man if we are born again. If we have, just now we sung the song, glorious liberty, glorious freedom. That is the glorious freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, if you are, on the other hand, if you are not the servant, verse 22 say, if you are not, then likewise also he that is called being free, that means you are not a bondman, you are still what? Christ's servant. So whether you are born or you are free, the calling is that we are what? Christ's servant. We are born slave to Christ. And that is liberty. Say, huh? Repeat that again. Physical bondage is not bondage. Spiritual bondage is bondage. But spiritual bondage to Christ is not bondage, it's liberty. Because we are now having this power to live a life that is, you know, without the shackles of sin. Without being chained to sin and being unable to break free from it, we are now given this ability by God to be able to live a righteous and holy life that is pleasing to God, and we can now have a relationship with God. That is the kind of liberty that we have in Him. We ought to be very thankful for this liberty that we have. And therefore, we ought to be thankful for the calling of God out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that we are to serve God in our calling. That is what we are told to do. The word calling here therefore suggests to us that, you know, it is God alone who has called us and by His wise arrangement and providence put us where we are supposed to be. We are all very familiar with Psalm 75 verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west. But from who? But God, from the Lord. But God is the judge who putteth thou one and setteth up another. We are familiar, but are we recognizing it clearly? That you are because God had done it. Verse 17 put it this way, as God has distributed every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. God has distributed. As the Lord has called. Is it clear? Who is the sovereign here? God. So we have a most wonderful call to become His children. And then after that call to be His children is the privilege of being called to be His servant. That's what we are told here in the verse 22. We are Christ's servant whether we are born or we are free. And this does not take place in a vacuum. It takes place in the very place and the very task that God has so directed each one of us. Our pastor ever said something that shocked me some years ago. He said that all of us, in our various calling, is not in any different from he being called to be a minister of the gospel. Do you understand what he said? He said that all of us who are called to our various calling, to our various profession, is as real as our calling of a minister to the gospel. And we always think about, oh, you know, oh, this one have a calling, and his calling is to be a minister. Right? For me, then, oh, I landed up doing nothing, just teacher and just housewife. And so mine is not a calling. His is a calling. His is a higher calling. Mine not calling. But the fact is that the scripture put it otherwise to us, that every one of us are called. When I first reported to work, my second boss in school, you know, my boss like to meet up with all the when the boss comes in, she like to interview each one, right? So one day I was in the office and she talked to me and she just make this statement and say, "Oh, so teaching is your calling?" I said, "Yeah, it's just it dawned on me that yeah, it's my calling," you know. So well, I mean, it's an unbeliever using such a term. And they see in the education service, we see teaching not as an employment, as a job, but it's a calling. Because it's a job that involves a lot of heart. It's not just dealing with machine and things like that. You're dealing with human being. You need a lot of patience. You need to go beyond the call of duty and things like that. And so they see a job as a teacher as a calling. And that is in a secular understanding of things. But I submit to you that that's not just applicable in only in work related to human beings. Not just related to a job of a teacher and job of a pastor, but every one of you.
In your various years of life, parent,
as a children, as an employer, as an employee, as a citizen, as a member of this church, member of the fellowship, each one of these responsibilities is guided by the scripture. And therefore, it is a calling. You know, God doesn't need to regulate any of this sphere of responsibility, isn't it? Recently, we in the church, we've been dwelling in quite a fair bit of that responsibility after we deal with the doctrine aspect of the book of Ephesians and talk about the various roles as parents, as husband and wife, as children, as citizens to be later on as masters and servants. Every one of these spheres is governed by the very instruction of God, and therefore it is a kind of calling. And it's a great mercy of God to be in a calling. God is the one who in his mercy saved us and continue to aid us in our various calling for a deliberate purpose, that we might do our role in this world of darkness to serve him. And it's a wrong thing to just switch yourself out of it or do nothing eventually. So a man having a good calling, the responsibility is to abide therein. That's what Paul is trying to say here. We are to abide in it. Now, what do you mean by abiding in it? Right? We'll talk about that. But is there an opportunity, a occasion where, you know, a change of calling may be proper after conversion? Right? As you mentioned about the need to all of us to abide in this calling. But is there any occasion where, you know, it is proper after conversion to change your calling? And so it's obvious, right? There will be people in the Corinthian church, for example, who were once, you know, in the trade of sex. And that if they are converted, they are to stop. They may be serving in a temple, right? You know, idolatrous temple. And after they are converted, they must stop, right? They may be in vices of gambling. And therefore, after that, they may have to stop. Or in licentious living sort of a lifestyle of drinking, then they must stop. This is very clear. Because God will not allow us to continue to abide in a sinful profession. But if it's not a sinful profession, there is no requirement for us to stop. And of course, there's a second case that is mentioned in verse 21, where if you are a slave and you can obtain your freedom, please, you know, if you can, use it rather. That's what verse 21 tells us. But I don't think any one of us are in that situation. But some of you may say, oh, I'm in a bond, you know, with the government, with this company, maybe I can use it rather to get out of the bond. That's a different thing, huh? Don't misinterpret the scripture. Whereas you're not a bond slave to that, okay? Yeah. So the third occasion will be when, you know, men may see that the hand of God is leading him out of this calling, just as he brought him into this calling, you know, to another calling. Or another occasion whereby he may be forced, you know, by circumstances to change his calling. I recall in the old days where, you know, we have a lot of Photoshop. I'm not referring to computer program called Photoshop. I'm talking about shops that develop photos with negative and all that kind of thing. Today, do you see them? No more, right? Only one or two maybe in some places where they print your digital photos. It just run out of business. We have members in our church who were once in this business and who had to close shop because the digital camera just, photo just, you know, push, get it out of, you know, make them lose their job. So there's no choice, right? You have to begin to reinvent yourself, you know, to fold up. You're forced to lose the trade because of a change in itself. That is by the providence of God. And therefore, you will have to seek newer employment. So you're retrenched and you're forced to, you know, go and get a second career. There's no choice of yours. Well, is there another occasion where we can actually change our calling? Is when we see, for example, David, right, being called from being a shepherd boy to become a king. But you see, it's not David who wanted to be king. Please remember that, right? It was God called upon him and providentially preparing him. You see, in his whole story, when he eventually became a very good king. And how the apostles, each of them, were having their various calling, and then until God called them into a higher calling to become apostles, to be a blessing to more people. And so there are occasions where if God calls you to higher useful, greater usefulness in a new employment, in a new profession, and that's when it becomes your privilege to go and do so. So much also, of course, to become called to be a minister of the gospel. And so our senior pastor wants to say, you know, being a gynae can save people's life, but who is going to save people's soul? So he decided to go and be a minister of the gospel also. And so that is another calling that God called upon him to do. But no one should call himself to be until God calls him to be, you see. Because that with the calling itself, God will also prepare and God will also enable. And without the calling itself, then you go and do, you will not be able to do. You will not be able to fulfill your function. You will not be able to be a blessing to people. So that is again a response. On one hand, you know, you may aspire to something. On the other hand, you must be sure that although this can be a better employment, it can be a greater usefulness, it's still a responsibility to make sure that it is God's will, or else it cannot be a blessing to others. And so, otherwise, other than all these situations that I mentioned, I would think I'm quite comprehensive. Maybe there is an exception, but all of us ought to be, as believers, content in the various calling that we have now and to walk humbly in it. And to enjoy the calling and to glorify God in our calling. What is the word enjoy? Because the Westminster Shorter Catechism begins with this question, isn't it? What is the chief end of man? Which is what? To glorify God. Period. And enjoy Him forever. Enjoy Him. Yeah, it's not about, oh, you know, we just do our various duty in a grudging manner, in a very unhappy manner, and sad, and think, you know, as if we are so born slave to that, and we have no choice out of it all. But really enjoying our fellowship and our walk with God in the various calling that God has called us, because we know we are doing the will of God, and therefore that is a wonderful and joyful thing, and we see God with us in, you know, working His perfect will through us and helping us to be a blessing to others and shining for Him, and God enabling. That is the most wonderful thing you can imagine. And you'll be doing what you are doing joyfully, enjoying the very presence of God with you. And that is the will of God, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for each one of us. And this morning, as we enjoy a day of holiday and take time off to our various responsibility, I want to ask you this question. Are you enjoying your calling? When you think about what you are doing now, and you think about going back to what you are supposed to do tomorrow, what does it say? Or is something else? I say that, yeah, I'm going back, you know. Of course, you know, we all like rest, lah, huh? So it's not abnormal, right, to like rest. Just after church came, you don't feel like going to work, right? You know, but that is because it's too enjoyable. All right, what does it mean that you know you're so scared or so, you know, so burdened by the fact that you have to go back to work and that you don't even feel like you drag yourself and all that, and you're not enjoying? You're not even in any way recognizing that what you are, what you're doing is the will of God, and God is with you, and you're shining for the Lord, you're glorifying God in this occupation, even in a very simple job.
It's not about how great and noble that calling is. It's about, is it God's will for you?
If it's God's will for you, and you're doing it joyfully to the Lord, experiencing the presence of God, blessed by God, and be a blessing to others for God through this calling, is a wonderful thing. You know, in our life, we meet many people of different profession and all that. Some people bring pain in their profession to us. Some people bring joy and happiness to us, right? And I wish sometimes that those people who I've met with, who are doing their various profession, no matter what profession it is, and doing happily and joyfully, and therefore bringing joy and to you, they are really Christian, and they are people who really know the will of God in their life, and they are happily doing it. Have you seen a cleaner who is smiling and happy all the time? We have one in our Taman Jurong area, but the man is not very sound in his mind. Yeah, but nevertheless, he was very happy man. But he was not mad and smashing table and all that kind of thing. But he was really singing as he was cleaning. You know, but of course, I don't want to mention what he's saying. But then, of course, he's enjoying what he's doing. The question is this: if we are doing a lowly job, so called, that we are deemed to be in this profession itself, but we are doing it cheerfully to the Lord, serving the Lord in it, being a testimony in it, is it in any way a wrong job? Is it any way a dishonoring job? Can we not shine for the Lord in this very simple job also? And is it necessary that it must be one of those big professions of a lawyer and professor and a doctor and all that before we can be shining for the Lord? Each of us in our various role, we can be a testimony. And when we can do it joyfully as unto the Lord. All things. There are consequences, brethren, when we do not abide in this calling. Proverbs 27 verse 8. A verse I like to quote. Proverbs 27 verse 8. As a bird. Proverbs 27 verse 8. As a bird that wandereth from her nests, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Here is comparison. A comparison is a man who wanders away from his place, from his calling. He's supposed to be in this place, in this calling of his, but he wanders away. Who brought him to wander away? He did it. He was distracted. He was looking at something else, and he thought that something else is better, and then he wanders away. Right? He will be likened to that very bird that wanders from her nest. What is the consequence of a bird that wanders from the nest? Nest is the very place that he hatches his young. Nest is the very place that he hides his food to store for the summer. For the winter. During summer, he stores and stores, and so that in the summer, in the winter itself, he will have food enough to continue on for a long time. If he were to wander away from this nest of his, then where is he going to find refuge in the time when he is in trouble, when he is in want? Where is he going to find a comfort and a consolation? This is the consequences of one who wanders away from where God would have placed him to be, from his place, God's ordained place for him. And all calling out of God, where God is to be served and enjoyed therein, so you are to make sure that you do not wander away from this very calling. And sometimes people say, well, the reason why I would change my calling is because I cannot serve God so well therein. Are you very sure of that? Have you applied yourself to do all that you could? Or are you discontented and, you know, running ahead and hastily without prayer or the will of God to something you think you are, you should, and you would better be? I'm not against any change of job or any change of calling or migration or things like that. My message to each one of you from the Word of God is not about judging you when you did any of these things, but it's about slowing down a little bit to recognize the will of God in the calling that you have now, and not to hastily run away and wander away from His place. He must be called out of this place before he should enter into another place. That is the will of God for each one of us. And it's a duty of every one of us to walk with God in our calling and not barely just to, you know, be staying where God would have you to be. It is what verse 24 tells us. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Every one of us, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. We know in the book of John that our Lord Jesus says that if any man abide not in God, he can do nothing. Abide with me, that and I in you, then you may be able to bear much fruits. And that's the will of God for each one of us, that, you know, where we are abiding with God in our calling, is in the domain of our calling, is not outside of our calling, that we abide with God, and we are not to be, as what verse 23 tells us, to be servants of men, but verse 22, we are called to be servants of Christ. So we are to be serving God in our calling where God does call us. This was the very same, this was the situation at the very beginning of creation, do you see? When God made Adam and Eve, what did he do? Did he put in outer space floating around? No, he created an environment for him. And then what did God do? God gave him a job to be a gardener. God didn't say, okay, now you just every day, you know, you also house and do nothing. Just, eat, drink and be merry and sleep and also, that's all. No. But he gave him a job to do. But it was a pleasant and joyful job, right? Before sin came into place and where he had to sweat, you know, where there's thorns and thistle. But still, nevertheless, after the fall, still there is the same idea that there is a calling to be responsible for certain things that you're supposed to do. And the thing is this, If a man do not walk with God in his calling, the question, how can he walk with God at all? You know, a man is not said to walk with God because he prays in the morning and the evening and does not abide with God throughout the day. In fact, we walk with God and we abide with God in the whole sphere and domain of our calling. And that's why we are told to abide in God and walk with God in this aspect of our calling. A man is distinguished from the man of the world as a citizen of heaven when he realizes that this is his responsibility. He's in the world, but he's not to be of the world. He's in this world itself, but he's not fashioned to the things of this world. But he's very clear about his heavenly calling, in his calling to be what God wants him to do. And so a Christian is one that has the very presence of God with him in his calling and abiding in the presence of God in doing the things that he has been entrusted to do joyfully as to the Lord. And therefore, negatively, what does it mean, you know, to abide of one who is abiding with God in his calling? He must not be ignorant of his trade. He must not be ignorant of his trade. He must be, you know, good and a master of his trade. If you are called to be a teacher, be a good teacher. If you are called to be an accountant, be a good accountant. If you are called to be technician, be a very good technician. Don't just be happy with doing mediocre, but doing the best in it. If God calls you to it, then learn your trade well and spend your time well to innovate and think about how you can be better and better and better at your job. So that not be to glorify yourself, but rather to be diligent in this calling. He said, is this scriptural? Turn to me to the book of Romans chapter 12, and I prove to you that this is absolutely scriptural. In fact, it is a shame for a Christian to be in a profession and then he's absolutely no good at it. And he's just sitting there to hinder every other people's progress and becoming a burden to the whole group itself. You look at Romans chapter 12, you can see very clearly that that's what it tells us in verse 6. Verse 7, or ministry, let us what? Wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, wait on our teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation, wait upon it. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. You see, each of the job that he's supposed to do, he's supposed to do it with something, with something, with something. It's not just doing it, but doing it with something. With cheerfulness, with diligence, with simplicity, that means without hypocrisy, with waiting upon the Lord, you know, doing it as unto the Lord, that sort of things. It's very clear. So as a believer, we have to be in our calling itself to be diligent, to be effective, and think about how we can do better. God, who has called you to this calling, why will he not enable you? Why will he not enable you? Why will he call you to this calling and after that say, sorry, it's all on your own. I will not help you to be better. I will not help you to be good at it. Answer is, it cannot be. If it is your calling, if it's your gift, then God will surely enable you to be able to do it well that you might glorify God. You think of Joseph. When he was called to, you know, to serve in this field and role, in this role, in that role, what happened? It was an excellent job. It was a, you know, commendable job. It was a job that no one need to look over the shoulder to see. But it was a faithful job. So well done that, you know, they were entrusted with more and more. And that is a kind of responsibility for us as believers when we are walking our various calling that we're just, you know, marking time. Marking time. Never. As a Christian and our various workplace, we must not be marking time. We must be watching, I came to office 8 o'clock. Alright? What time? Office end? 5 o'clock. See, in between how I can kill time and hide here, hide there. Now, day is over. Pack up my thing and go home. I collect my month's salary like that. That is a terrible, terrible testimony. I'm not saying that you must be the top. You must be the best. But you must be the best that you can be. You must be faultless. You must be one who is putting yourself to diligent work, to the best you know how, to the point that even when things don't go well, your boss will justify for you and say that, I know why it didn't work out. It's not because of you. It's because of something else. And that is the kind of responsibility that we have as a worker in the workplace, but also likewise in each of our calling, as parents, as children, as citizens, and all that. The Bible tells us very clearly, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Do it cheerfully as unto the Lord. These are very clear. It's not a something, it's in every calling, every aspect of it. We must not be accused of being negligent because we don't want to do anything about it, because we are irresponsible, or because we are lazy. And neither can we do unjustly. Look at Micah 6 verse 8, very famous verse. He has showed thee, O man, Micah 6 verse 8. What is good and what does the Lord require of thee? You know what's it? God has showed us, O man, what is good and what's the Lord require of thee? You know what's the answer? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God in each of our calling. But of course, there's a caution here. We must not be too fond of our calling to the point that we forget God in our calling. We are to serve God in our calling. We are not to replace our calling. We are not to replace God with our calling. I don't know if you get what I mean. We are to serve God in our calling, but we are not to replace God with our calling. Now maybe we can become so fond of our job to the point that that become our God. Now maybe we can become so fond of a certain calling, a certain aspect of what we are doing, that we become our God. To some people, the music that, you know, is so important to them, that become their God. To some people, a certain sports become their God. Some people, the various the responsibility they have at job, the position they have, become their God. They become too fond of this very calling, this calling, that they forgot God in their calling. They forgot that this calling is God's calling to them, and to serve God in their calling. But this calling become their very God himself. That is very dangerous. We must observe that this temptation does not grip us, and take heed to it. We are to live by faith in our calling. We are to abide in God and trust in God, wait upon the Lord in our calling. In the difficulties that you face, it's not by chance in our calling. When you face difficulty and problem in your job, in each of the calling, it is an opportunity for you to prove God. It is an opportunity for you to know that God is with you. It's an opportunity for you to see the hand of God. It's an opportunity for others to see your reality of your faith. You say you trust in God. Now see what you will do now in these circumstances. And if you were to wait upon the Lord, you were to trust in Him, you were to keep your integrity, and how when God deliver you out of it all, everyone around you will see and know that God is with you. That you are like that because you are a man of God. That is how we are to be abiding in our calling. And doing all things to the glory of God and not to sin in any way. Though people may suggest to you, do this, do that. But I say no, because it's not right. This may be the easy way out, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And it's only when you go through these circumstances that you will begin to see that yes, this is a calling from God. And therefore, God will see you through. If you don't recognize that this is a calling of God, then you will say, no, I'm left high and dry, what am I going to do? I better go and flee to my mountain. I better go and seek this refuge and that, and grab everything else, other than trust in the Lord. Do you recognize? Do you therefore wait upon the Lord? If you don't recognize, you will never wait upon the Lord. And you'll never be abiding and abounding in this very calling itself to the point that you will shine for the Lord. And therefore, I would urge upon you that you must see your particular calling as a spiritual activity also. Sometimes we like to dichotomize our life. You know, here we are, holy things. Right? Get out of here, worldly things. Is that how we have to see life? Whether you eat or you drink, it's a spiritual activity. Do it all to the glory of God. Isn't it not a spiritual activity? At a workplace, whatever you say, whatever you do, it's a spiritual activity. Because how are you going to show people your God unless you see this as a spiritual activity? You know, you don't live a double life. At workplace can lie a bit. Come to church matter, don't lie. Huh? In my business, I can cheat a bit, but the lost business cannot cheat. That's double life. That is not recognizing that every aspect of yourself is a calling of God. The whole of your being are to be a calling of God. And then that's when you abide with God, that's when you rest upon God, that's when you trust in God, that's when you see the hand of God. I'd like to conclude with this same calling that God has called us to. Let every one of us abide in our calling by walking with God. Then shall your calling be a blessing to you. Then shall your calling be a blessing to others. Then shall your calling have a hope. Then shall your calling be a joyful calling. And then the knots and the difficulties of your calling will be taken away as you wait upon the Lord, and your way and your yoke will be easy and your burden will be light. And then you can trust the Lord will deliver you. That you be kept from sinning against God in your calling, and then you can be a godly person in this ungodly world. God help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee. And we acknowledge, Lord, sovereignly, that Thou art in control of our life. And Thou who has called us to where we are now today, in each domain of our responsibility and our sphere of influence, Lord, Thou dost not make any mistakes. Teach us that we might not run and wander away from each or any of this calling, but we might humbly abide therein and wait upon Thee and to glorify Thee and to rejoice in Thee. And help us that we might be able to shine for Thee, being diligent, being enabled, and being kept and blessed by Thee, that others may see God in our lives. O Father, we pray that for the mistakes we have made in our lives, we ask for your cleansing. And for the journey ahead of us, Lord, help us to abide in Thee and walk with Thee, that we might be able to fulfill that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in our lives. For this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank God for His Word, especially for the reminder that all our calling are equally important, even though the impact may not be the same. May it help us to consider carefully, especially when we make